Psalms 119. If you look here at Psalms 119, look down here at verse 25 and read that. Have a word of prayer, and then we're going to go through this section today. Psalms 119, verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach. And Lord, I pray that you'd use this message tonight for your honor and your glory. Help me to rightly divide it. And I pray that you would do a work as only you can. We ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Here is the psalmist. I believe it was potentially or probably David, but can't tell you 100% sure. And the psalmist, as you see in Psalms 119, the amazing thing about Psalms 119 is every verse is God's word. But what you'll find is almost every single verse in it has something as a reference to God's word. You could see that in verse 25, he says, according to thy word. Verse 26, he says, way, statutes. Verse 27, he talks about precepts. Verse 28, he talks about thy word. Verse 29, he talks about the law. Verse 30, he says, way and judgments. Verse 31, you could see testimonies. Verse 32, he talks about commandments. So God, yeah, it's God's word, but almost every single verse that's in this chapter has something about God's word. There's two or three verses, it's still God's word, but may not have something that says that in there. And as we get through there, I'll show you those verses. So in this portion of section in verse 25 to verse 32, we see the psalmist is starting off, and he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Cleaveth unto the dust. What David is speaking of, he's talking about this sorrow. Sometimes in the Old Testament, they would put the dust and ashes that were there. And he's talking about sorrow. He's cleaving to it, right? There's dust that's on him. He's ashamed. There was something that caused David to cleave unto the dust, to have this sorrow. It's potential when you go through and you look at some things that are mentioned in this song. It's probably a result of sin. There could be some trial that David is going through. It could have been a wrong decision that David made. And if you look at the scripture, David made some bad decisions. A time with committing adultery with Bathsheba. It could be a result of that. It could be his pride. There was something that he did, some kind of sin that caused him that he did it, he committed it, and then afterwards he realized, what did I do? He felt ashamed about it, he had a sorrow of it, he probably had the dust and ashes that was there, and what we could see is there's this sorrow that's on his heart. And he says here, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. That word quicken means to revive. Someplace in the New Testament, you'll see that word quicken, it means to make alive. And that's what God does. When you get saved, amen, you get born again, He saves you because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. There was nothing you could do to save yourself, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, salvation is by faith. It's not of works. When you add anything to salvation, the reality is that is a work-based salvation. That is a false doctrine. Salvation is by faith. It's either by grace or it's by works. And God is very clear, it's by grace. And what we see here is when he's talking about, he says, quicken thou me according to thy word. David knows where he can get the strength. David knows where he can get the encouragement. David knows where he can turn that sorrow into gladness, where he can take that sorrow and have joy, that sorrow to have peace again. And here it is. He's asked the Lord. He said, Lord, quicken me or revive me. Revive me. Get me back to that place with you where I'm in that sweet fellowship. Oh, can I tell you, as believers, we need a revival again in our hearts. Sometimes as Christians, we can get to the place we may get in a rut. You know, sometimes that happens in a marriage where a couple will get kind of, if I could say that, in a rut. They just get in a routine and they take each other for granted. Can I tell you, we need a revival again. We need a revival in our heart where we get back on fire for God. I mean, truly living for God. I mean, truly getting to, on our knees, and some of us may not be able to do that because our back or knees, whatever, sit down, whatever it is, but get along with God. I mean, plead to God. Remember in the book of Daniel, read the book of Daniel. Daniel got alone with God, and as Daniel got alone with God, he started to confess his sins, and his nation sinned. And God revealed to him, hey, what's going to happen to Israel? Folks, can I tell you, in America, we need a revival. You know, a revival is not going to be in lost people. Because the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in lost people. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in saved people. We need a revival. I'm talking about those that are believers to be revived for God, to get on fire for God again. To get that vision, if I could say that again, for God, for those that are lost. Do you ever think about this? When someone dies, they're going somewhere. When someone dies, they're going somewhere. When someone dies, if they are truly born again, they're going to heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a rejoicing thing when someone is a believer and dies. Now, we are in sorrow because we miss them. When my dad died, I miss my dad. When my mom died, I miss my mom. When others have died that I've known, I miss them. But can I tell you, I am rejoicing for them. My dad, and I think I've told you this a couple times or multiple times, I don't know. But I remember the last week of my dad's life, he had kidney failure. And there were things, he was having problems. And I remember the last or next to last time I talked to my dad, it was on Saturday or Sunday. Must have been Sunday. I talked to my dad, and my dad, when we were talking, he was telling me, he says, son, I'm not doing good and stuff like that. He said, but you know, I know where I'm going. And then for the next, I don't know, half an hour, my dad and I, we talked about heaven. And we talked about what heaven may be and what it looks like. And again, we can only see it by what the Bible tells us. And my dad was looking forward to that. And then the next day, so it must have been Sunday, the next day was Monday, I got a call from my dad or a text message that said, son, I'm not doing good. Pray for me. I said, Dad, we'll pray for you. And that was the last conversation I had with my dad. And I remember getting a hold of my sister because she lived in that area. And I said, Melinda, have you heard from Dad? And she's like, no. And I said, I'm a little concerned. She said, so am I. And so she called and asked for a checkup. And then my sister called me back. And she had tears in her eyes. You may say, how do you know? Because I could hear it in her voice. And she said, Dad died. Oh, could I tell you? It broke my heart. I had tears. I remember I'm 100% man, amen. But there's nothing wrong with crying. Jesus wept, amen. So I'm not a sissy. But anyway, I remember hearing that, and I went up to see my wife, my daughter that was there, and I was trying to be all macho about it, and looked at him, and next thing I know, I said, Dad died, and I had tears that came out of my eyes. Why? Because I missed him. Oh, but can I tell you, I have some rejoicing. Bob, I know I'm going to see him again, amen. Folks, can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. When you think about when someone dies and know the Lord, you're going to see him again. But when someone dies and doesn't know the Lord, you're never going to see him again. They're going to spend eternity in hell. I am not a fan of doing funerals. I don't like doing funerals. I really don't. So you know what that means? Don't die. Amen? That way I don't have to do a funeral. Amen? I don't like doing funerals. But anyway, when I do a funeral and it's someone that's saved, it's a blessing. Because I can remind them of where they're going to be. Mark, one of the hardest things to do is do a funeral of a lost person. Oh, that is one of the worst things in the world to do. Because I cannot lie to the people there. I don't tell them because I don't know. They may have believed on the Lord and I just don't know. But I cannot give them assurance and say, your loved one's in heaven today. But what I can tell them is if your loved one could come back, they would want you to know that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. Amen? Because they know it. That Jesus is the only way. Oh, can I tell you, we need to get a revival again in our heart to ask the Lord, Lord, quicken me. Lord, get that desire in my heart for people. Because when people die, they'll go to heaven or hell. Amen? We should remember that. And here it is, as the psalmist is going, he says, my soul cleaveth unto death. He has this sorrow of his heart. And he goes to the Lord because he knows the Lord can help him. Look what he says here in verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes, in verse 26. It's interesting when you go through and you look at the scripture and you look at verses. So again, every single verse in this Bible is the very words of God. Almost every single verse in this chapter deals with God's word or mentions it. And here in verse 26, did you see something? He says, I have declared my ways. My ways. Here is the psalmist, and now we can kind of maybe see why he had this dust, why he had a sorrow of his heart. Because he wasn't following, Mark, God's ways, but my ways. Oh, can I tell you, a lot of times the reason we have sorrows, a lot of times the trials are come, or a lot of times why we have the heartaches is because I'm not following His ways, I'm following my ways. David was here, is kind of confessing to the Lord and saying, Lord, I know you have heard what I'm bringing to you. I'm confessing to you. I have declared my ways. I declared the way that I have went. I have declared that I walked over this way, but it was away from your path. I have done this that I should not have done. What is he doing? I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Can I tell you one of the best things that you could do is when you have that sore of heart and you have that weight, that burden of sin, stop making excuses for it and get right with God. Amen? Get right with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to declare my sin. Amen? And give it to the Lord. Amen? Tell Him what it is. You're not going to have that joy and peace again until you get right. Amen? The best thing to do is just ask Him, say, Lord, forgive me. Amen? I mean, we serve a wonderful, awesome, amazing God. Amen? I mean, you think about it, God is so greater than us. All of us. You put all our love together, it's nothing compared to the love of God. You put all our mercy together, it's nothing compared to the mercy of God. The long-suffering of God, the patience of God, the grace of God. Can I tell you, He's longing just for you to say, I'm guilty. Lord, forgive me. Amen? That's God. He loves you. He loves me. That day that I got saved, I saw myself as a wicked old sinner. I saw there's nothing I could do to save myself. I remember hearing an old-time preacher preach. That's when I used to listen to cassette tapes. You know, cassette tapes, these young people are like, what are cassette tapes, amen? And a cassette tape. And I can tell you the Holy Spirit used that preacher, Hal Webb, convicted my heart and showed me I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I remember I got home that day, I got on my knees, I went to the scripture and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I accepted Him as my substitute, believing that He died for me, buried and rose again, and He saved me. God wasn't there to beat me over the head. God wasn't there to say, I'm going to send you to... No, He wanted to save me. Oh, could I tell you, God's there. He wants you to come. You read through the Bible, you know what you'll see? You'll see constantly, you'll see the mercy of God, mercy of God, mercy of God. But He's holy. There is judgment of God. But here it is. The psalmist is admitting. And then what's he saying? He says, teach me thy statutes. Can I tell you, sometimes that's what happens. We have to get down to the place where we have that sorrow of heart and we realize, uh-oh, I've done it. And we mend our ways. And then what? We have a humble heart and we're saying, Lord, you teach me. I need to learn. Lord, I want to know which direction to go. Lord, teach me thy statutes. Not my way, but thy way. And here is the psalmist that's bringing it to it. Can I tell you, we should have, when you come to this Bible, you should have an open heart. You should have a willing heart. When you pick up your Bible and read it, do you go to it and look at it and say, you know, Lord, teach me. I want to learn something today. Is that your desire when you read the Bible, is to learn something? I'm not talking about just head knowledge, and we'll get there for in a second. Sometimes people like to have head knowledge so that way they can answer questions or whatever. I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about that you can have understanding and saying, because I want to do what's right. Teach me. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And he goes on and says, so he's talking about teaching. And look what he says here. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And here it is. He says, make me to understand. That word understand means to comprehend, to know, right? To comprehend, to know. It's just not... When I was in college, before I got saved, I took Spanish. There's a few words I still remember after 2 years in high school, 2 years in college, right? And there's only a few words, and I struggle with those. And I remember I would try to talk to my teacher, and I would try to find out from her. The second year in college, Rachel, was the worst. You know why? Everything had to be in Spanish. And I think I learned how to say, como dice, I think it was. And then I would say an English word, like, como dice, whatever. Is that what it means? How do you say? Is that what it means?
You took French?
Oui, right? That's about all I know. So, but anyway, I learned a few things in Spanish, and I tried my best. I asked the professor that was there, the lady that was there. I said, I am struggling in this class. What do I need to do? I just want to pass. I just want a C. I just want a pass. That's it. Give me a C. So anyway, she gave me kind of instructions what I would have to do, you know, just come to class. You just come to class. You know, even if you don't do good on the cats, just come to class, right? So I did. I figured I could do that. So I came to class when I could. I tried my best to come to class and try to study it. And I know some words in Spanish, right? Como estás, right? That's about it. Me llamo es Dan, right? My name is Dan, right? There's a little bit of, but I can't tell you I really comprehend it, right? Now, when it comes to math, I love math. Oh, I am a math geek, a math nerd. You could tell me, it doesn't matter. I love it. And if someone asks me about math, sometimes people will ask the question about math, and I just ramble on and on and on about it. Because I love it. I can comprehend it, right? Here it is when he says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. He's not asking John just for head knowledge. He's saying that I can comprehend what you're telling me, that I apply it to my heart, that I can end up doing it. Right? I just don't want to pass. But Lord, I want to comprehend so that way I can do well. And that's what he's saying. Folks, can remember, it started out what? He had that dust on him. He had that sorrow that's there. And what was it? He confessed it. Now he has a willing heart. And now what is he doing? He's to the place where he says, Lord, I want to comprehend your way. The way. Isn't that interesting? Change from his way, David's way. Now it's to God's way. And look what he says after that. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. See, when you get it here, and then at Mark, it goes down here, and you understand and comprehend it, you know what happens? You start sharing it. I got saved in 2002, but I've been a religious man probably all my life. Religion will not get you to heaven. No, religion will make you miserable. Religion cannot save you. But a relationship with Jesus Christ can. He can forgive you. And I remember I would ask people, and people would say something to me about heaven, right? And again, I was a very religious person, and I would tell them, hey, I would tell them that I knew Jesus was the only way to heaven. I would tell them that, but I wasn't saved. I remember, this is truthful, I'm not proud of it, that I would go to a bar and sit down before I became a Christian. Sit down at a bar. And sometimes I would sit there with people and talk to people. And we'd talk about God. See, I would tell people that I knew of Him. But I didn't know Him. Then that day that I got saved in 2002, I haven't been back to a bar room since. Praise God, amen. Since I've been saved, can I tell you, there's a difference from head knowledge to truly knowing. There's things I used to tell people, you know, about Jesus and salvation. When I got saved, John, I could tell you what it means. Amen? You know why? Because I was there, Mark, when He saved me. How He changed me. I know, I comprehend, right? Did you ever hear someone that say about chastening from God?
Right? Now, before I got saved, I didn't really understood that, right? I was like, chasing for God, what does that mean? You know, maybe bad things happen or whatever. I didn't know until Barb, I got saved, amen? And after I got saved, I realized when I start to walk this path a little bit out of the way and God chasing me, let me tell you, I know what it means to be chastened by God. And let me tell you, Miss Alma, it's not fun. Amen? And there is no doubt in my mind that God chastened me. Boy, I tell you, it was just like, whoa. When God chastens you, you know it. And you know what it is? It's like, I'm staying away from that. Right? See, before I could tell you I knew about chastening Joe, but I really couldn't understand it. But when I got saved, I got it now. Amen? Here it is, David saying, hey, teach me thy statutes, but I want to understand. I want to comprehend it. Right? And then he says this, then after I comprehend it, I'm going to tell. Amen? Remember the day that you accept Jesus as your Savior? Is there a day that you can go back? You may not remember the day, the circumstances with it. But you should remember someone talked to you about the Lord and you asked Him to save you. But can you remember after you got saved what you probably desired to do? You want to tell someone. You want to tell your mom and dad, grandpa, someone. I mean, you want to share it with someone, right? Amen. Why is that? Because now you understand, you know? You may want to come up to your whoever, a Nana or Pop-Pop or whoever it was, and say, I got it now. That's probably the day that you're waiting to hear. Amen. For your grandkids, when they get of age and they understand what it means to be saved, you keep on telling them about Jesus, and they look at you and say, Pop-Pop, I understand now. Boy, could I tell you, Mark's a big guy, but I guarantee you there's going to be tears coming down his cheek of joy, of gladness. Amen. Why? Because they understand now. What is it? They're going to share. Amen. And that's what David is saying, saying, Lord, I want to learn, and then I'm going to talk of thy wondrous works. And look what he says here, verse 28. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Oh, could I tell you how sin brings you down? How sin brings you down? He gives this illustration of his soul melting for heaviness. Sin will weigh on you. Before I became a Christian, can I tell you, I felt like I was carrying a backpack of bricks all over the place. And that was my sin. Well, I tell you, it was just weighing on me. I'd go to church and I would hear a gospel message. And I just felt like it weighed on me more. Weighed on me. I was thinking, whoa, can I tell you, sin will weigh you down? Can I tell you, burdens, as that song says, are lifted at Calvary. Amen. He'll forgive you. And here it is. David is describing that. He says, my soul melteth for heaviness. The sins bring it down. And what is he asking? He says, Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, I know that you can give me the strength. I know this burden I have. I can give it to you. I could ask you to forgive me. And Lord, you can give me strength. Maybe you're here today. I don't know all the details of your life, and I'm not asking, or do I want to know the details yet? But maybe there's something you have done in your life and it's weighing you down, and you're thinking, God can't forgive me. God has used David, who committed adultery, who also gave his word that a man would die. You talk about a man that understands heaviness. Here's a man that understands heaviness of sin. And God can strengthen. God can forgive you of whatever you have done. The devil is the one that's telling you he can't forgive you. No. He's lying to you. God can forgive you of anything that you have done. Amen? And if you're thinking God can't, well, see, you have a wrong view of God. God can forgive everything. Amen? And here it is, he's saying, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according to thy word. He knew that God could strengthen him. Maybe you're here beating yourself up over some sin. Can I tell you, God can strengthen you. Amen? Remember, keep your fingers here. We'll come over here to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Look what Paul said here in Philippians chapter 3. I'll be coming back to Psalms 119. Look here at Philippians chapter 3.
in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, we can see this is Paul saying he wanted to have a better relationship or fellowship with God. He was a born-again believer, but he wanted to grow closer. And look what Paul said down here to verse 13, verse 12 and 13. Not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What is he saying? I'm not perfect, right? I'm growing in the Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet, but I'm not what I used to be, right? He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto the things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the devil always wants to remind you of your past, of what you've done. And Paul said here, I want you to learn something that I have learned. And what was Paul saying? The past God has already forgiven, so I put it behind me. Can I tell your sins are on that cross? Why keep on bringing them back? It's not God that's doing it. It's the devil or your flesh. And Paul realized in his life, as you turn back to Psalms 119, he says, this one thing I do. What was it? The past is forgiven. Stop dwelling on it. Amen? There's some people that just dwell on the past of something they've done, and that will weigh on them for the rest of their life. They didn't have to carry that. They could have gave it to Jesus. Jesus would have helped them. Amen? With it. Look here what Psalm says in Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, as we go back here to verse 29, he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant unto me the law graciously. The word graciously is favorable, kind, merciful, disposed to forgive offenses and impart unmerited blessing. Here is the psalmist says, remove from me the way of lying. Maybe it's just a lying in general of he lied to himself. Or maybe it was lying of saying, you know what? If I do this, it'll be okay. It'll work out. Maybe he was thinking about the time where he lied about Bathsheba. He committed adultery. She came to him and said, I'm pregnant. And David's like, what? Oh, no. You can't be pregnant. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. Here's a plan. This is what we'll do. Go, and he had someone go and tell Joab to bring back Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Bring back Uriah. And that was his plan. He's saying, you know what? I'll bring Uriah back. Uriah will come back. Hey, Uriah, how's things going? Uriah's like, oh, we're in war. It's rough. But God's given the victory. Oh, that's great. He didn't care. He says, hey, Uriah, why don't you go home with your wife and here's some things, you know, some drinks and food, and go home and enjoy the time with your wife. Because he was hoping if he sent him back with his wife, and then he could say, well, that child is yours, right? And he could cover his sin. And Uriah's like, no, I'm not going back. It wasn't that he didn't love his wife. He loved his wife. He stayed there. And David got up and was like, in the morning, he was like, why did you go back there? He says, I can't do that. He says, you know, the men are out there. We're in battle and stuff. So David tried it again. Didn't work. And then David was just like, all right, Uriah. He gave him a note. It was his death warrant. That means he was going to die. And he gave him a letter. If Uriah would have read that letter, you'd realize the king's going to have me die. You want to talk about a man of character. Uriah was a man of character. Well, anyway, when he talks about this, when he says, remove from me the way of lying, maybe he was thinking about the way that he's been going, the path that he went, thinking that it would work. He says, Lord, remove it from me. And what was he saying? He says, grant unto me thy law graciously. Lord, teach me. Lord, show favor unto me. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Now it's changing from where he was. And what do you see now? Now he's starting to surrender. He's saying, I'm making a choice. Did you ever sing that psalm? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, right? And it goes through those other verses that are there. And we get all excited. I have decided, right? And you sing it. I'm not going to sing it to you. It'll get you to really leave. Amen. But I have decided to follow Jesus. What is it saying? I surrender to Him. You know, you have to make a choice. Salvation is a choice to receive Jesus Christ, reject Him. You think about afterwards, when you're a disciple, it's a choice every single day to get up and live for God or not. Every single day. And here it is. David has made a choice. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Lord, I'm choosing Your way. And Thy judgments have I laid before me. Matter of fact, Lord, I'm choosing Your path. And I'm putting Your path in front of me. As I'm going to walk, I know what Your Word says. You're going to teach me. You're going to allow me to learn. And I know You're saying, do this. And that's what I'm going to do. Here it is. He's made a decision to follow the Lord. He goes on and says, I have struck unto Thy testimonies. Stuck. That word is defined as cling. To adhere. Right? When I want something as tape to really stick, I don't get that scotch tape stuff, right? The stuff you can kind of see through it. I like that duct tape, right? Gorilla tape. That's the stuff I like, that gorilla tape. You get that stuff and it's like, you try to rip it, you know, and you stick it onto something. That stuff sticks. I like that stuff, right? And here it is, what he refers to, he says, I have stuck unto Thy testimonies. It was kind of like David is saying, you know, to his Word. He's saying, Lord, this right here, it's in my heart. It's not going to go away. Those who are listening to prayer are like, oh, what is that noise? Here it is, it's in my heart, right? It's here, I'm not moving yet. Remember in the Old Testament, when Naomi, she lost her husband and her two sons, and she was getting ready to go back to Israel. She had her two daughter-in-laws with her. And Orpha said that she loved her. She looked at her daughter-in-laws and said, stay and go back to your people that's there. And her one daughter-in-law, Orpha, was kind of like, I love you and stuff, but she left. And the Bible says that Ruth cling to her mother-in-law. You know? She was like, don't let me leave. Wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. She was cling to her, right? That's what David is talking about. Remember in the book of Genesis where Jacob, who later was named Israel, his brother Esau was coming for him and he was worried. You remember, he's the one that tricked his brother. And this is the first time he's going to see his brother in a while. And he's probably thinking, oh no, my brother is going to get me. He's going to kill me. And that night, he told his wives, he said, get alone with the kids. And that night, he got alone with God. And the Bible says that he wrestled with an angel. I believe that was our Lord that came down in the form of an angel there. And he wrestled with him. And when he was leaving there, he touched his, his thigh, and his leg went out of place, but he cleaved to him. He said, bless me. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Do you remember that in the book of Genesis that's there? David is talking about that. You know, he's talking about that struck. That means to cleave, right? I mean, when you really surrender to the Word of God, you're going to hold on to it. Amen? Hold fast. Amen? And that's what he speaks of here. He says, oh Lord, put me not to shame. Maybe he was just growing in the Lord, still there and saying, Lord, I have surrendered and Lord, I'm going to go this way. And maybe there's some doubts in his mind. I don't know. He says, Lord, but I'm going to follow you with my whole heart. And Lord, please don't allow me to be in shame. But he realizes in the next verse, he says, I will run the way of Thy commandments when Thou shalt enlarge my heart.
Think about that just for a moment. When I was in fifth grade, who here knows how to swim? Anyone know how to swim? Some of you know how to swim? Yeah. When I was in fifth grade, so I was 11 years old, I didn't know how to swim, right? I had no clue, right? I didn't know. So when I was in fifth grade, 11 years old, they took us to the Y during school. So during school, you had to sign a paper. Parents had to sign a paper, and they took us to the Y. It was down in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. So they took us to the Y in Waynesboro. I wouldn't go back to the Y. They've changed a lot of stuff that's there. Men could go in the women's thing and vice versa. But anyway, they took us there, and we had a teacher. And he asked some questions. He said, "Who here could swim?" And there were some people that raised their hand. They could swim. And he said, "Well, let me see. Jump in there." And they jumped in there. He could swim. He said, "All right." He said, "I'm going to use you to help me." Can't remember. It was probably to help us dumb people who couldn't swim, scared people. And then he looked at everyone else and said, "Everyone else that can't swim, he said, come here." Now, at the Y, most pools they have it, they have the lower end where you can just jump in. You come up to like here, right? And then they have that crazy part that's deep, right? You jump in that part, it goes over your head. And he takes us all down to this side that's down here. That's the deep part. And again, I'm 11 years old. I look in. I'm like, I don't know if I could see the bottom. I'm probably exaggerating some of it because I think it was like 12 feet deep or something that they had. 10, probably 12 feet that was there. And we looked at it. And then I remember Mr. Sanders looked at every single one of us who raised their hand and said, "We cannot swim." He said, "Jump in." What? You know? I was thinking, I was shaking, I was thinking, he must not have heard. Those guys down there raised their hands. They can swim. I can't swim. That's why I'm up here. And I remember there was the first person, he had his own line that was here. And I remember I was down here somewhere, right? It was kind of, you know, sometimes they have in a pool, they have that little rope thing that tells you cross there, that's the deep part. So I'm here close to that end part that was there. And I remember the first person, as God is my witness, I am not lying to you, he would have get fired. I guarantee you he would be fired today. They would have fired him. He gets to that first person that was there and he says, "Jump." And that person didn't. And as God is my witness, Mr. Sanders, what? And knocked him in, right? He went in. I don't know if he told him ahead of time or whatever he may have. I don't know. But I just remember that boy went in there, came up and came to the end. And he looked down at us and said, "Jump." And I was thinking, either I'm going to jump in or he's going to kick me in. You know, I didn't put my toe in. I jumped. I went in. I came up. And I looked like the craziest person swimming, you know, like this, whatever. And somehow I reached to the end. I said, "Oh, you know, I made it." And he said, "All right, now get out. Get down the other side." He said, "So that way you're not going to be afraid of the water. You're not going to die. And now I'm going to teach you how to swim." Right? You know, there was a point I'm trying to tell you. You know, sometimes when people are trying to live, you know, for God, for faith, they just like to get the foot in the water a little. Amen. Just give me a little foot. No, man, yeah, maybe a test in the water, see what it's like. David is not putting his toe in the water. No. I mean, David, if it was water, if he's talking about swimming, David is not putting, no, David is running and he is jumping in, right? He said, "I'm going to run. On this path, I'm just not going to just tippy toe. No, God. I'm putting my head down and I'm going to run your way." Amen. You see that? What a wonderful blessing. He says, "I will run the way of thy commandments." I'm going to run. I am going to stay focused. I'm going to keep my eyes on you. He says, "When thou shalt enlarge my heart." See, here's the key. A lot of times we miss it. See, the revival doesn't start. I can desire revival and I can pray for it. But it's going to have to come from God. And David knew that if he was going to run for God and stay in that path that God wants him to do, Lord, it's going to come from you. If you're here today and you say, I want to live for God, praise the Lord. Amen. But you have to realize you're going to need to rely on Him. Amen. Yes, surrender. Yes, don't just put your foot in. Amen. I mean, jump in and run, you know. But the reality is it's going to have to come from Him. But you know what's amazing? In 8 short verses, he goes from a man with dust on his face, clinging in sorrow, in 8 verses because of this very words of God, to a man that's running for God. Maybe you're here today and you're in midst of sorrow. Maybe you're here today and you're like, woe is me. But maybe you're here today and you're like the heaviness of sin. Oh, can I tell you? We're going to have an invitation here in a minute. Debbie's going to come and play. Can I tell you one of the best things to do is just run to the altar. Amen. Come here and say, Lord, just help me. Help me to surrender for you. Help me to walk that path that you want me to walk. And can I tell you, if you're willing to come, amen, God will help you stay on that path. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you have given. And Lord, I pray that this message to help and to bless. And I pray that it will encourage us to live for you. Lord, I pray that as we get into this invitation, if there be one here today, Lord, that maybe they have the heaviness. Maybe they have that sorrow. Maybe lost the joy, whatever it would be. Lord, I pray during the invitation they would come forth. And Lord, maybe get down on their knees and say, Lord, forgive me, help me. Take away this burden that I have, this heaviness. Enlarge my heart. Help me to run for you. And Lord, if there be one that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they come forward. Lord, as I know that others that are believers here know, you can't run until you're a part of the family of God. And I pray, Father, that they, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, today would be the day they get that settled. We ask in Jesus' precious name.